Turn with me this morning in your Bibles in the New Testament to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. We're going to start a brand new section. Now, we're doing an in-depth study on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and what an incredible study it has been. And chapter 6, when we left chapter 6, that examination, that mirror where we had to look inwardly, and Jesus doesn't stop there. This morning, as we enter chapter 7, this new section, the Lord is truly going to search our hearts, and I pray that you allow Him. Let me say it again in case you did not listen to me. It's a good thing this morning to let the Lord search our hearts. And everyone says, amen. It's a good thing for the Lord to let Him look in our hearts because, listen, I don't know about you, but I want everything within me that is displeasing God, I want it out of me. And I know any Christian who loves Jesus wants that as well. So this morning as we look at chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, God is truly going to search our heart. Like it says in Jeremiah 17:10, the Bible says, I, the Lord, search the heart and I test the mind. Now, we're going to move into an area that has to do with our relationship with others, not only the body of Christ, but particularly the body of Christ and those without the body of Christ. Let's start and let me read to you the 6 verses and then we're going to get into the Word. It says, judge not, Jesus says, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. This morning, as I just read, Jesus tells us, number one, not to judge others. And then number two, He tells us why we should not judge others. Now, what I want to do this morning, if the time allows, I want to teach verses 1 through 6. Let's break them down. And then after I do that, I want to make application so we can carry this out today and live throughout our life, not judging other people. So let's look at verse 1. Jesus, there teaching on the Sermon on the Mount to the multitudes and all of the disciples, He says, judge not. Ooh, that's a good one. Judge not. Now, Bill, you have to remember that we live in the age of tolerance. Amen? We have to be politically correct. You have to be a team player. You know, absolutes are not certain. Now, you don't want to start pressing this button here. Well, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I believe in living and let live, but there's nothing wrong with rocking the boat. And that's what Jesus does all the time. If you ever travel with the Lord, if you're growing in Christ, I'm going to tell you what, He's always tossing you to and fro. Why? Because He's getting the junk that's in us out of us. Why? Because He loves you. He wants us to be a type of people that can look at other people, whether they're in the body of Christ or out of the body of Christ, and not judge them. Now, before we go on, it's very important that you and I set a standard right now, that we understand what Jesus is truly saying in verse 1. Because verse 1, listen, the people that are in the world, meaning the ones that are not saved, they know this verse just as well as we do. And they use it on us. So let's find out what this is not teaching so we can determine what it is saying to the church this morning. First of all, when Jesus tells us right here, He says, for us to judge not, Christians, yes, are not to judge. There's no doubt about it. But Christian love is not blind. It's not blind. We have to know what's going on. Listen, the reason that we know that we have to practice judging, yes, we do. Look down at verse 6. It says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine. My goodness, who's He talking about? We have to make some sort of judgmental decision. Listen, let me give you a little secret here, which is not really a secret, but in other words, when you come to a scripture in your Bible and it's giving you problems, to know your text, don't just say, okay, I don't understand. I know I'm not supposed to judge, you know, what's happening. Listen, what the Lord wants you to do is to know this text, to understand verse 1, read the entire context. So already in verse 6, well, there's obviously Jesus is saying you have to judge here because of the dogs and swine and so forth. But he goes further than that. Look at verse 15 in the same text. What is he telling us to do? He's telling us to beware of what? False prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. So obviously, he tells us to judge those who are speaking God's word. Now, you're to judge me this morning. Bill, are you going to teach us the truth? I pray with all my heart I do. That's my desire. But you're to check me out. And so when we go through the Bible, like, for example, in Matthew 18, whenever you have a confrontation with a brother or sister in the body of Christ and you're arguing or there's a problem or a fault between you, the Bible tells us that if he refuses to hear you, then bring it to the church. If he refuses to hear the church, Jesus says this, let him be as a heathen and as a tax collector. Think about that. That means we have to make certain judgments in the body of Christ. In Romans 16, 17, Paul writes this, I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And listen to what Paul says. He says, avoid them. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 5, 11, it says, but I have written to you, Paul says, not to keep company with anyone named a brother. In other words, don't keep company. Do not associate with anyone who calls himself a Christian who is sexually immoral. Think about that. Matter of fact, it says not to even have dinner with them. Don't go out and have lunch with them. Now, Bill, I didn't say that. God did. Don't get mad at me. You see, there are certain things in the body of Christ, disciplinary issues that the church, for some reason today in the 21st century, is extremely lax on. Well, we have to obey the Lord whether we like it or not because we love Him. Amen? And, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, how about in Jude where it tells us to earnestly contend, not be contentious, but to contend for the faith that's once and for all delivered unto the saints of God. John, 3 John, I believe it is, I think it's 3 John, might be 2 John, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it tells us not to even when they come and knock upon your door, it tells us if they're bringing a false doctrine, then do not even let them into your house nor greet them. Now, all the scriptures that I just mentioned and all the things that I just said must be accompanied with love, never with rudeness, never with meanness. But with love, because you're a Christian, you're Christ-like. So I'm telling you here, and when it says judge not, it doesn't mean that we're not to judge these things. We are to walk in discernment. Christian love is not blind. So what in the world is Jesus telling us to do here? Well, let's look at the scripture again. It says, judge not. Now the word judge there, do a good word study. It means not to condemn. It means not to gossip. It means not to be a fault finder. But literally, it means that you be the judge, that you be the jury, that you pass sentence upon a person. The word there, krino, in the Greek, it means to damn. It means that when you look at somebody, you have passed sentence. You're the judge, jury, and you're the executioner. You've just totally just looked at that person and considered them worthless or whatever. Jesus says, listen, I don't want you to have that type of self-righteous, hypocritical attitude. He says, you're a Christian is not to live that way. We're not to look at other people and condemn them and think, well, I'm better than they are or whatever. God says, no, you're not to live like that. Because, see, that's what the Pharisees do. Remember there in Luke chapter 18, when the Pharisee went to the temple to pray and he stood and there was a tax collector over in the corner on his knees praying and he said, oh, God, he said, I thank you that I'm not like other men. And he was looking down at that tax collector, one of the most hated people in Jerusalem and in America too, you know what I mean? But it's my joke this morning. You follow me? And that tax collector was there on his knees and he was beating his breast. And he said, oh, Lord, he said, I'm a sinner. Have mercy upon me. Jesus said that tax collector went home justified. And that Pharisee who prayed with himself didn't get anything from God. You see, it's about that attitude that we have with other people. The problem with condemning and passing sentence and criticizing other people is this. You and I, we don't have all the facts. Now, God does. See, God knows their motives. God knows a person's heart. But we don't know a person's heart. That's why Jesus said in John 7, 24, he says, do not judge according to appearance. You know, looks are deceiving, aren't they? He says, but judge with righteous judgment. It's real easy to look at a person the first time. Like I used to have people that meet me and they think, oh, we thought you were a mean person. And I said, it's just the way I look. I'm not mean. I love people. Yeah, but when we first saw you, we just thought you were just mean. And I said, well, maybe it's the way I grew up, you know. I don't know. My mama looked mean. That's why I obeyed her. I don't know. You understand? But I love people. So, you know, and then after a while, you know, you get to know people and you think, you know what? When I first met them, I had this opinion. And then after you get to know them, you go, they weren't like that at all. Isn't that right? Well, why? Because you judged according to appearance and not according to their heart. That's why Jesus said there in John 7:24, it said, when you judge someone, judge with a righteous judgment. Judge with a pure heart. You know, I read a newspaper article not too long ago and about the South. And meaning from Texas all the way down through the South, you know, the Bible Belt up toward the South Carolina and so forth, and Tennessee, all through that whole southern area. And this newspaper guy was wanting to write an article about the South because he was from the North. And if you're from the North, don't be offended about what I'm about to say. Oh, you know, but anyway, it's your own problem if you're from up there. No, but anyway, he said that everyone living in the South is just lazy. You know, they're just a bunch of lazy Southerners, you know. And I said, oh, well, that just really makes me feel good, you know. And so what he did, he set about to discover the laziness of the people in the South. So he was stopped here in Texas. I don't know what part of Texas he was in. But as he was traveling along out in the country, he saw a man in his garden sitting in a chair hoeing weeds with a hoe. And he said, that's it. I just got to Texas. And he said, I'm going to take this picture because it's my first story about people, how lazy they are in the South. So he, you know, parks his car, walks toward the man. And when he gets up to the garden, he looks at the man and he lowers his camera because he was going to take a picture. He lowers it and puts it down by his side. And he realizes that that man is hoeing his garden sitting in a chair because he doesn't have any legs. Interesting, isn't it? You see, we judge people. We pass judgment upon people. And we don't know all the facts. Listen, looks are very, very deceiving, church. So Jesus says, I don't want you judging in that manner. Now Jesus tells us something very important. Look at verse 2. He tells us why we shouldn't judge. And here it is. He says, for with what judgment you judge, you should underline this in your Bible, you will be. Did you catch that? You will be what? Judged. With the same judgment you judge. Jesus said, you will be judged. And watch this. Not only will you be judged, but the measure that you judge, the measure that you use, look what it'll happen. You need to underline it. It will. That means it's going to happen. It will be measured back to you. Amazing. What our Lord is telling us is so true today. And I think Christians today don't even, it's all right. Well, I can judge. No, you can't. Listen, Jesus is saying we set the standard for our very own judgment. Man, I don't know how you feel about that, but I know that scares me. You know, have you ever, like, for example, when you were growing up, did you say to your mother or your father, I'll never be like you. Have you ever done that? And then now that you're older, you know, you go, I'm just like them, just like them, saying the same things. Well, why? Well, because you judge them. Now, so Jesus is saying, listen, you have a choice. If you're going to play God, which you better not do, if you're going to be the judge and the jury and the executioner and the one who passes sentence, he says, you're going to be judged in the same manner. Did you hear that? Well, that's enough right there to just make me look at everybody and love everyone. Because I don't want to be judged. We've all passed some heavy judgments upon people, and we're usually wrong with what we do. See, Jesus says, if you judge this way, it's going to come back to you. Be not deceived. God says, whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What about Haman? Remember wicked Haman in the book of Esther? What did he do? He hated the Jews. He wanted to destroy the Jews. So what did he do? He built that incredible gallows, you know, that high, high gallows for who? For Mordecai, the uncle of Esther. And guess who was hung on that gallows? It wasn't Mordecai. It was Haman himself. It all came back to him. You study out 2 Samuel chapter 12 about the sin of David when Nathan the prophet confronts him. He committed adultery with Uriah, who was his trusted soldier. He then sent Uriah into battle to have him killed with the sword by the Ammonites. Joab pulled back. There was Uriah all alone, and the Ammonites killed him. And what did Nathan the prophet say to King David? Well, you know, he told him the little story of the ewe lamb first, but I don't have time to talk about all of that. But he said, David, because you have done this to Uriah, the sword, since he was killed with the sword will never depart from your house, meaning death. And listen, the moment he said that, who was the first one to die in David's house? The first one was the child of Bathsheba, the firstborn. He died. The little baby died. And then after that, the sons of David started dying one by one. Amnon, then Absalom, then Adonijah. They all started. Why? Because God said, you know, you judge this way, and now the same judgment that you have judged out, it's coming back to you. In ancient Persia, one of the judges that lived during King Cambyses, I believe it was, you know what he did? He found out that judge lied. In other words, judged a person wrongly and knew about it. So he killed him, killed the judge. And you know what he did? He had the judge, his body skinned and wrapped the chair, the judgment chair, in the skin of the judge that was killed. And whenever anyone else had to judge another person, he would say, go sit in that chair and judge them. Huh. Yeah. Let me tell you what. Yeah. I think you go, well, I know what happened to that old boy. I'm sitting in his skin. You understand what I mean? I think I'm going to change my mind about judging someone else. Maybe we need to do that today. Now, Jesus says here in verse 3, he paints a very humorous picture. Watch this. He says, and why do you look at the speck? In other words, that tiny piece of dust, that tiny little splinter in your brother's eye, but do not consider the two before or the log or the plank that's in your eye. And how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look at the log or the two before in your own eye? Let me ask you a question. Would you allow a blind eye doctor to remove a speck from your eye? Not today. Can you imagine a two before sticking out of my eye this morning? Look at, just imagine. Jesus is painting a funny picture. He's saying, you know, he said, you know, we're just a bunch of speck inspectors, looking for little dust in other people's lives. And when you have the two before in your own eye, you're incapable of seeing anything that's wrong with that other person. He said, first get the two before out of your eye, then you can help your brother. That's important because Jesus gives us right here the responsibility of doing something. He gives us the responsibility of helping others only after we deal with our own selves. We have to judge our own self. Listen, people are hurting. Don't judge someone. Don't judge other Christians that are in trouble. When a Christian is in trouble, it should break your heart. If you see a brother or a sister that's doing something immoral, don't say, hey, do you know what I saw sisters or brothers so-and-so doing? Don't do that. That's wrong. It's going to come back on you. Somebody, a little bird's going to take it like it says in Proverbs and going to go tell somebody on you. See, what comes around goes around. The same measure that you measure out is going to be measured back to you, Jesus said. He said, don't judge. Stop it right now. I'm trying to protect you. You see, people that have specks in their eye, listen, they don't get very far in life. I don't know about you, but have you ever, you remember when you used to smoke cigarettes? And you know, back in the days when they didn't have air conditioning? And so you would flip your ashes out of the window, right? And then the wind would blow them back in your eye. You ever get that happen? You're holy this morning, aren't you? And let me ask you a question. Did you go, oh, that is so comfortable? No, you would, oh my gosh, I just, you know, or you're getting a little dust in your eye or whatever. Just listen, or if you wear contacts, I wear contacts. I mean, not this morning, I don't have them on, but I wear contacts. You get one little thing in your eyes. Listen, you've got to pop that thing out of it because you can't take it. What is Jesus telling us? He said, listen, people with specs, they hurt. They're hurting. They can't travel very far because they have pain in their heart. And Jesus, why don't the church get the big old plank out of their eye so you can go and you can help somebody? Because specs are removed by love. They're not removed by pharisaical, hypocritical attitude. They're removed by love. The true mark of a believer, the true mark of a Christian is love. Not the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are wonderful and needed. But Jesus said this in John 13, 34 through 35, right before he was to go die upon the cross in the upper room, when he just raised up from being there with his disciples, from washing their feet, he said, listen, a new commandment I give unto you. I want you to love one another just as I have loved you. And then he tells them why. He says, by this, meaning here's how, by this, the whole world will know you are my disciples. How? Because you love one another. You're not walking around with two befores in your eyes trying to judge other people. You're there to remove specks, painful specks that have stopped people from going on in this life. Listen, never look down on anybody unless you're going to help them up. Amen? And that's exactly what our Lord is saying. And he says, and don't give what is holy to the dogs. Now, here it comes. He's judging, isn't he? A righteous judgment. Now, listen, I want you to get this because it's important. When Jesus says, do not give what is holy, set apart, sanctified to the dogs, what is he saying? Well, the picture is this. The Jews knew exactly what he meant because dogs were horrible scavengers. They weren't like, Fido wasn't a household name. Let's put it that way. In other words, they didn't have dogs living in their homes like we do today. I don't, but some people do. You understand? And not that I'm against dogs. Now I'll get an email. Are you against dogs? Aren't you, Bill? Somebody just judged me. I felt it, you know. No, I love animals. Okay. I give to the pound. Okay. There you go. But they were scavengers. They were diseased. They drank human blood even, you know. They were gross. And what Jesus is saying is that no Jew would take a piece of meat that they had brought home from the temple after they sanctified it and dedicated it unto the Lord for a sacrifice, and they brought part of it home for their family to have. They would never take that holy piece of meat and throw it outside to some dog. And he said, no, I'd never do that. No, that's holy. It's holy. It's godly. It's been sanctified by God. And he's saying, no, you can't do that. And then he says, nor cast your pearls before the swine. Now, the pearl there is something so precious, but he says, do it before the swine. Now, dogs and swine were considered unclean animals to the Jew. And I don't know if you know anything about hogs, you know, if you grew up on the farm, you know, when I was a kid, you know, my grandmother and my grandpa, we'd do what we call slop the hogs, you know what I mean? And if you know anything about hogs, they'll eat anything. They are vile. They are dirty. You can clean up a pig. I mean, clean him up, shine his little hoofs, brush his tusk and his teeth, comb that old stiff hair, put a little hairspray on it, you know, mousse and fix him all up. And you know what? Bring him over to the front of your house and love him for a couple of days and then say, here, I'm going to let you play. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to go right back to the same old mud hole and wallow in it. Why? He's a pig. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed, if you've ever dealt with animals or dogs or hogs or whatever, many a night or many an evening, because we slop the hogs in the evening, many a day, my grandfather had to jerk me out of the hog pen when I was feeding it because I was a little boy. And the reason is because they will turn and they will attack you. They'll turn and rend you and tear you to pieces. If you've ever had a hog after your leg, you've never experienced any terror in your life. No, I'm serious. Listen, and they'll eat you. They'll eat. They're crazy. So Jesus here is giving us an incredible example, and he's telling us to make the proper judgment. What he's telling us to do is there are people that are hostile to the Word of God, the pearl. They're hostile to the message of the gospel of the kingdom. And Jesus is telling us that we have to be careful the way that we share the good news with people. Listen, I think it's wrong. Now, let me back up. I don't think it prudent, that's a better word, or wisdom for a believer to share their testimony with unbelievers. And I'll tell you why. If you start sharing holy things with people that don't know God, they'll turn and cut you to pieces. The Lord spoke to him, guys. Remember? Come on. Do you understand? Oh, yeah, he was reading the Bible and all of a sudden he felt impressed by God. Go, ooh, Twilight Zone. You know what I'm saying? Now, here's what Jesus, I believe, is teaching us right here. He's saying, stop sharing your testimony and start sharing this book right here because this is what's going to work. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? And that's what we need to do is talk to them about Christ, talk to them about Jesus. We don't need to tell them about, I was caught up into the heavenlies. You understand? They're going to turn, they're going to chop you up, they're going to turn you to pieces because Jesus is telling us here that you need to understand man's true condition. And here it is. Man's true condition is this. He's a hater of God. Romans 1:30. Backbiters. Haters of God. And whenever someone is a hater of God, they make jokes. You talk about hell, they make a joke out of it. You talk about this, they make a joke out of it. And the reason they do that is because they consider those holy things. Do not cast your pearls before the swine. The holy things, they count them as nothing. And so Jesus is saying you have to make the right kind of judgment and the right kind of people that you're around. Now, I have about 10 minutes, maybe 12 minutes left before we have to stop. Would you allow me to give you about six things very quickly on why we should not judge? And then we'll close out. But what I want you to do, to look at those six things, would you turn in your Bibles very quickly, turn to James 4:11, and let's make this application. James 4:11, talking about judging others now. Let me go ahead and read. It says, do not speak evil. Now that means to criticize, talk against, and it also means to judge. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother, and here it comes, and judges his brother, speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. In other words, God is saying, listen to me, here's a problem. James, the half-brother of the Lord here, says, do not become the judge. Do not do that. Don't be the fault finder. Don't point your nose down at other people or look down your nose at other people. Listen, he who throws dirt always loses ground. Amen? And that's what he's saying. He says here, if you do that, two things happen. The first thing that happens, he says, is that when you judge your brother, watch. Number one, you speak evil of the law. Number two, you judge the law. Do you see that there in that scripture? We speak evil of the law, we judge the law. In other words, where it says we judge his brother, speaks evil of the law, and judges the law. Now, what law is James talking about? He's talking about the royal law. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about the royal law. What is the royal law? It's found in James chapter 2, verse 8. And here it is. The royal law which saith this, ye shall love your neighbor as yourself. Neighbor, the word neighbor in the Greek means the one who is near you. You see, we're to walk in love. We're not to judge other people. Now, it says there in verse 12, there is one lawgiver and who is able to save and destroy. That's God, it's not us. Who are you to judge another? God is saying, listen, church, I want you to remove the robe and get out from behind the bench and get away from it right now, because only God is truly qualified to make those judgments. Now, six quick things. Number one, in verse 11, let me read it to you. Do not speak evil, or in other words, do not judge one another, brethren. Okay, number one, why do Christians judge? Are you ready for this? Christians judge because they do not believe it's wrong. They do not believe it's wrong. I've been a pastor for over 20 years, folks. I know what I'm talking. They don't believe it's wrong. In other words, they don't really believe it's a work of the flesh, and they don't believe that passing sentence upon someone and trying and damning them, they don't believe it's sin. And the Bible says it's sin. Look what it says in James 4:11. Two words, do not. That's a command. Don't judge. Jesus just told us the same thing, Matthew 7:1. Don't judge, or judge not. Now, number two, we don't understand who we are judging when we judge. What do I mean by that? It says in verse 11, look at it, do not speak evil of one another. And what's that word? Brethren. What does that mean? It's talking about the church. It's talking about us as a family. See, we don't understand if you're sitting here in the church and you judge other people. Listen, you're judging your own body, because you're part of the body of Christ. And what that tells you is this. When it says for us, we don't understand that we're judging who we're judging, meaning our family, it means that we do not look at each other as valuable. You're valuable to God. Everyone in this room is valuable to God. And yet you're saying, if you're judging another one, another Christian, you're saying, ah, they're not valuable. Well, God says that they are. And so if you're not treating them as valuable, then you're missing it. Listen, you let the church go through persecution. You let the church enter hard times, and you'll find out how valuable we are to one another. Amen? Number three, if we don't understand who we are judging, meaning our family, that means we have a very low view of the church. A very low view of the church. In other words, it means that we're tearing apart our own body, because you and I are part of the body of Christ. Amen? Now listen, You would never tear apart your own body, would you? You would never do that, right? No. I mean, you didn't wake up this morning and the alarm goes off and all of a sudden your right hand said to your left hand, you know what, let's really mess with him or her this morning. They always use the right hand to turn off the alarm. Let's don't let it work. And you come here and you just, I don't know what's wrong with it. It's not working. No, you don't. Your body loves your body. In other words, whenever there's something wrong with your body, if you have a cold or something, did you know that everything in your body rushes to make your body well? Why? Because your body has no jealousy in it. God created us. He loves us. And he says, I want you to love one another, not judge one another. The last thing, I said six things. Number five, very quickly, we judge too quickly. 1 Corinthians 4:5, it says this, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. Oh, that's a good word. You know what? I'm telling you, the same Peter that denied Jesus Christ by the fire when that little maiden, the little girl was talking to him, he was warming his hands and he denied the Lord three times. The same Peter that denied the Lord, what did he do on the first day of Pentecost? He preached the first gospel sermon and what happened? 3,000 souls were saved. You better watch out about judging. The Peter who was warming his hands by the fire today may be the great man of God tomorrow. You take Samson, that womanizer that we find in the book, who was a judge of Israel, who was always in trouble with another woman. And that finally got him all messed up, didn't it? And then they blinded his eyes. And there's poor Samson, his hair is all gone, his eyes are blinded. He sinned against God. He knew he'd sinned against God. He did everything wrong. But there at the very end of his life, oh, Samson, you were horrible. And at the very end of his life, that little boy let him out because the Philistines wanted to make sport of him. And what did he do? He said, listen, take me up to the pillars that I may feel them and touch them. And the lad takes him up to the pillars of the temple where all the Philistines had gathered. And he puts his hands upon the pillars and he says, Father, will you remember me just this one more time? He was repenting. I was wrong, Lord. And then as he strengthened him, and then he told the Lord, what did he tell him? He said, Father, let me die with the Philistines. And Samson did die with the Philistines. But in the end, even though we had judged Samson for all those chapters, he was a womanizer. Yes, he was. But then in the end, what? God used him. Now listen to me. Philippians 1:6. He who has began a good work in you, and all of you. He who has begun a good work in you. It says what? He, meaning Christ, will what? He will complete it. He will finish it up until the very day of Jesus Christ. We don't have any room to judge. We don't have any room to judge at all. Not, I'm talking about trying and damning and sentencing, being judge and jury, executioner. No. No, we're to love one another. The person sitting next to you this morning, he or she, they might be the next Billy Graham. You don't know. The sixth thing that judging does, and this is the one that affects you the most, is judging blinds you. And I only have a few moments, and it's the most dangerous, and I'm going to ask you to turn one more time in your Bible. Look at Luke. Go to Luke. That sounds better than James right now. Go to Luke and look at chapter 7. Look at chapter 7. And let's start right here in verse 36, all right? Now watch this. It says, then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus, it says him, but it means Jesus, to eat with him. Now any time a Pharisee asks you to eat dinner with you, you're in trouble. Because Pharisees are the most religious, hypocritical people. They're legalists. And boy, I tell you, to go have dinner with them, you're going to be in trouble. And I'm just setting that up for you, okay? And look what it says. And Jesus went to the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to eat. And behold, that's a very important word, because that word there means a wonder seldom seen. A woman walked in. See, a woman would never walk into a Pharisee's house, nor would, especially the woman that this woman is, and she would never disturb them. So it was like a wonder seldom seen. A woman in the city, in other words, a woman of the town, who was a what? Sinner. When she knew or heard, literally, that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, what did she do? She brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, that perfume, that costly perfume, and stood at Jesus' feet behind him. And what was she doing? Look, she was weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. And when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, now look what he did. He spoke to himself. He didn't say anything to Jesus. He talked inwardly. That's judging. He's getting ready to make a judgment. Look what he did. He said, if this man, meaning Christ, if he were really a prophet, or if he were a prophet, would know and what manner of woman that this is who is touching him. For she is a notorious sinner. Look up that word sinner. Meaning she is a notorious sinner. She is a social outcast. This woman is one who is devoted to sin. And the Pharisees, if they even touched anything unclean, they would run home and wash. You know what I mean? Oh, I've got to clean up. Oh, I've touched somebody that's a sinner, you know. Now, that verse is very important. Because here's what judgment, judging others, I'm talking about that trying and sentencing and damning does. First of all, this guy's name, as we'll learn in the next verse, is called Simon, the Pharisee. But what happened is, number one, Simon was blind to the very presence of God. Now, how do I know that? Because Jesus Christ is God. And God was sitting at dinner with Simon, and he didn't even know he was the Messiah. Oh, think about how judgment blinds your heart. The second thing is that not only is he blind to God here, but he was also blind to his very own sin. He had the planks, the two befores in his eyes, and he couldn't remove them. Why? Because he was inspecting the specks upon this dear young woman. Now, and the third thing is, he was blind to the heart of this woman. Was she a notorious sinner? Yes. Yes, she was. But you see, when there are sin in other people's lives, what do we do with the specks? Beat them to death with our two befores? No, they're hurting. She was in sin. She knew she was in sin. And what? Let's continue very quick. And it says, and Jesus answered and said to Simon, hey, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. He didn't have anything to say to the woman. He had something to say to Simon. Watch that now. There was a certain creditor, lender, who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing for which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered. He said, I suppose the one to whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. And matter of fact, this is the only thing he did right the entire time. Now watch this. I love it. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, did you catch that? I want you to see this. He turned to the woman, the one who had been weeping, the one who was washing his feet with her tears and drying them with her hair. Listen, he turned to the woman, but he was speaking to Simon. I love this. This is so wonderful. He was looking at this dear woman and he said to Simon, Simon, you see this harlot? Didn't say that, did he? Do you see this notorious sinner? Jesus didn't say that, did he? Jesus said, do you see this woman? I entered your house, Simon. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair and her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but the woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil, costly perfume, in other words. Now watch this. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. What did Jesus just do? He just did a Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 2. Judge not, lest ye be judged. With the same measure you measure out, it will be measured back to you. That's exactly what happened. What did Jesus do? Jesus compares. He looks at the woman. He's talking to Simon. He compares Simon and the woman. It's so wonderful. And the thing is here is that her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And it didn't say anything about the Pharisees. Judging. It's incredible. Listen, you know what I think? Let me just throw my two cents in for a second. I think people that come to Christ who have grown up in a good home, and I pray everyone does, but say that they just didn't live a lifestyle of sin. They were just pure people, and I thank God for that. But they're still a sinner. And they come to the Lord and they get saved, and they have a tendency sometimes in the church, not every one of them, but some of them, to look down their noses at other Christians who have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb and all of their sins hidden in the sea of forgetfulness and all of their sins as far as the east is from the west. They say, oh, you used to be that. I never did that. Does that make you want to throw up? It makes me want to throw up. I'm going to tell you something. When you come to Christ Jesus, no matter how wicked your past, no matter how much of a notorious sinner you used to be, God will never call you that. He looked at the woman and said unto the woman, he didn't say harlot. Simon said, sinner. What manner of person? That's a religious hypocrite. That's a judge. That's one who passes sentence. Listen, don't you be like that. Don't you ever be like that. You remember this morning that Jesus Christ has judged our sin upon Calvary's tree, and that all of your sin is forgiven if you're in Christ. And not only that, He judged our sin. God judged our sin in Christ. He laid upon Him all of our iniquities. May I tell you that God loves you this morning? And when you walk out of this building today, you don't have to look at somebody and judge them or compare yourself to somebody to make yourself feel better. But my Bible says in Colossians 2:10, you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Amen? Jesus is enough for you. Jesus is enough. You don't need anything else. You don't need anyone else but our Lord. So we don't have to look down our nose at anyone. Listen, why don't we do something this morning? Maybe you're the type of individual that, you know, just says, Bill, I really have a problem and I've been judging. Now I know that. I didn't know I was judging and I just want to get clean. Man, I want to get right with God. Let's do that right now with every head bowed and every eye closed. Just say, if that's you, I don't know. This, your hand represents your heart. It's not for me, it's for yourself. Just say, Lord, I want to be cleansed from this. If that's you, if you've been, oh, God bless you. That's right. Yes, 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 yes. God bless y'all. Yes, see all, I understand. God sees all those hands. Every hand represents a heart. That's right. God bless you. That's right. Father, you saw the hands this morning. Lord God, you saw that we're just getting right with you, that we don't want to judge other people. We don't want to pass sentence. So Lord, here's what we do. We give you our heart. We're not going to be a Pharisee, but we're going to be a tender person, Lord. Loving other people. We're going to be removing specks because they're so painful. So Lord, cleanse us now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.